And this is an oral history interview with Dr. Misao Horiba, conducted on Friday, the 19th of November, 2004, at the Horiba offices in Kyoto, Japan, conducted by David Brock with the help of two interpreters.
Do I need to translate that one too?
I don't think so. But probably beginning now would be great. So Dr. Horiba, I learned that you were born on the 1st of December, 1924, here in Kyoto, and that at that time, your father was a chemistry professor at the university. Could you tell me about your father and his family?
で、堀場先生は京都で2024年の12月1日のお生まれになったということですが、当時お父様は京都帝国大学の科学の先生でしたということで、お父様について少しお話しいただけますでしょうか。
まあ親父は僕が帰ってくる、まあ僕が帰ってくるじゃない、私が生まれる直前、まあ直前って言ったって。そうですね、産むためにはお母さんがいないといけないから、まあ、私の生まれる1年前ぐらいに帰ってきたんですけど、その7年間ほどずっとドイツとオランダで留学してまして、ね、それから帰ってきてすぐ私が生まれました。ですから姉と私はちょうど8歳年が違うんですが、要するにその間親父は教えてた。母親はその間子供が産まなかったと、まあ、こういうことですね。
Well, actually, my father had been studying in European countries, mainly Germany and the Netherlands, for about 7 years, and came back to Japan about 1 year before I was born. And actually, he was able to reunite himself with my mother, and that's how I was born, actually. But because he had been away from Japan for so long, actually, my elder sister is elder to me by 8 years. And of course, while my father was away from Japan, my mother didn't give birth to any other children.
本当はね、その4年ほど経った時、母を呼んでたんですけどね、教え来るようにね。でもまあ、父の母親って、まあ、僕から言ったおばあさんがいたし、それの世話も必要だし、それからその頃はもちろん飛行機ないから、1ヶ月間かかって、スエズがあったのかな、まあ、なんとか、とにかく1ヶ月ぐらい、船旅をせないといけないんで、ちょっとヘジテートして結局行けなかったんですよね。もし行ってたとしたら僕はもう少し早くどっかオランダかどっかで生まれてたはずなんですけどね。
Well, actually, about 4 years after he left Japan, he invited my mother to join him in Europe and live with him together. But actually, my mother had to take care of my father's mother, my grandmother. And also, around that time, there were no such luxuries like airplanes, so she would have to take a 1 month trip by boat, perhaps by way of Suez Canal or somewhere like that. And because of those two factors mainly, she was more or less hesitant to join him and actually missed that opportunity. If she would have joined him around that occasion earlier, then perhaps I would have been born somewhere, perhaps in Netherlands a bit earlier.
Was your father studying chemistry at a German university?
Yeah.
ドイツの大学では科学をやはり研究なさってたということで、そうです、Yes.
Do you know which one? Which university?
どの大学でらっしゃるか。
いや、いろいろ言ってたんですけど、ちょっと調べますよ、ここは。はい、後で。
Yes, actually, he had been several universities, so let me check it out later.
And was that common for scientists of his generation to get their advanced training in Europe?
で、お父様の世代の研究者の方々がその時代にあのヨーロッパなどに行ってさらに進んだ研究を積まれるというのは割合にあったことなんでしょうか。
なしとは言いませんが、まあそんな多くはなかったですね。あの、まあ本当に往復も大変だし、それからその直前は確かあの第一次世界戦争があってありましたからね。だからその時も戦争だったから教えるってことは非常に難しい。
I wouldn't say that there was no such occasion in those days among scientists in Japan.
第一次大戦で何年から何年までちょっと調べて。
I would say that he was one of the very few who were able to have such an opportunity, because as I said, just going back and forth between Japan and Europe was very difficult back in those days. And if my memory is correct, right before my father got to Europe, there was World War I. So I don't think a scientist from Japan would have been able to study in Europe.
But ケミカルとメディカルというのも圧倒的に世界ではドイツが強かったですから、まあ研究者っていう人はもう少々無理をしても行きたいところだったことは確かですね。
But back in those days, Germany was truly the number one state in the world in the field of chemistry and medical science. So I'm sure that spirited the scientists would love to go to Germany for advanced studies.
When your father returned to Japan, returned to Kyoto, is that when he became a professor of chemistry at the university?
で、お父様は京都にお帰りになって、そして、京都帝国大学の化学の先生に教授になる。Correct.
Could you tell me about his field of research?
でお父様のなさってた研究について何かちょっと教えていただけますか。
それはね、化け学の中でも物理化学、フィジカルケミストリーなんです。それで、まあ、彼が、まあ、日本で新しく量子化学を、まあ、導入した、量子力学をサイエンス、あのケミストリーに導入したんですね。
Well, his area was of a specialty was to be specific physical chemistry, and he was the one who introduced quantum mechanics into the area of chemistry in Japan.
それで、まあそのそういうことから、まあ熱解析、まあ要するに熱力学のの熱解析とか触媒ですね、キャタライザーとか、まあ、そういうことをずっと専門にやりました。
And from that on, he had continued to deepen his studies in the area of thermal dynamics, such as thermal analysis or catalysts.
With his interest in applying quantum mechanics to physical chemistry, did he work closely with physicists at the university?
で、まあ、量子力学という分野を物理科学の分野に導入なさったということですが、その関連から大学ではその物理学の先生たちとも一緒に研究なさるとか親しくなさってたんでしょうか。
結局ね、あの当時の京都大学っていうのは一方にこのフィジカルがあって、こっちにケミカルがあってですね、これがその今のようにそのケミストリーとかフィジックスというのでバツッと分かれるんでなしに、この間がね、こうそのデジタルでなしのアナログにあったんですよ。だからケミカルからフィジックスに入りすまれ、フィジックスからケミカルに入りすまれ、この辺をこういうふうにフラフラしてるわけです。 それがもう京都大学の物理科学の一番特徴だったわけですね、物理とか。
Well, today, the two areas of physics and chemistry in universities like Kyoto University are quite separate from each other. There is a clear demarcation between the two. But when he was at Kyoto Imperial University, there was more interaction between the two areas. And actually, it was not like either this or that. It was a kind of an analog spectrum relationship between the two areas. So I think the scientists were able to move more or less freely between the two areas.
Could you tell us a little bit about what your father's interests were outside of his work and outside of science?
で、お父様はお仕事、それから科学以外にどういったことにご関心がおありだったんでしょうか？
まあ、趣味としてはね、音楽、バイオリニストですね。バイオリンを自分で弾いてたし、それから漢詩ですね。
漢詩
と書道。
His favorite pastime activity was music. He played the violin himself, and also he enjoyed making Chinese character poems, and also calligraphy.Poems written in Chinese characters in Chinese poetry style.
Was that interest in both science and art, was that unusual? Did other of his colleagues share those dual interests?
で、お父様のようにその科学と芸術と両方の部門に関心がおありだったというのは、その当時の研究者の方々の中では稀だったのか、それともお仲間の教授ですとか研究者の中にもやはりそういった芸術と科学と両方を愛する方っていうのはたくさんいらしたんでしょうか？
僕はよく知りませんが、彼はまあ音楽と親しんだのは留学してる時にですね、やっぱりオーストリーとかなんとか行ってバイオリン、まあもともと好きだったんでしょうけどね、まあその辺でしばらく向こうの先生にも習ってたらしい。まあそれが高じて京都は音楽大学できる時の初代の学長もしましたしね。で、まあ、カール・チェルスっていうのをドイツから読んでその指揮者にしたんですけど、京都は京都市がオーケストラを持ってるんですよね。地方公共団体で独自のシンフォニー、要するにオーケストラフルバンドのオーケストラを持ってるのは京都だけだと思いますかね。でそこの主任指揮者にドイツからチカルチルス呼んできて、そして親父がバイオリンを弾いたら君は第三バイオリンに任命すると言われて大笑いをしたこと、まあ、それほど音楽が好きだったことは確かですね。
で、このカール、すいません、カール・ジュルスをお呼びになったのはだいぶ後の話ということ
ですね。あ、そうですね、もう大学を辞めて音大の音楽大学の学長をした時に、当然京都市のオーケストラをそこで作ったわけですね。それでその時にはまあメインコンダクターがいるから、こう探してきて、そのチェリスを指名して、はい、それからあとはもう全部確か日本人指揮者に変わったと思う、はい、その初代の指揮者はドイツから呼んできましたね、
はい。I don't know too well, but his high interest in music, I think, is somewhat related to his studying in European countries. And around at that time, I think he had occasions to go to Austria and get exposed more to music in European countries. And before that, I'm sure that he already had some interest in music already. And I remember that at one time he was taught how to play violin by an instructor or a teacher. And also after he retired from the field of business, he was appointed the president of Kyoto University of Music, And around that time, at the same time, the Kyoto city government decided to establish the Kyoto's municipal orchestra. Mm. And my father did a lot of work to invite Mr. Karl Chuss as a main conductor from Germany. And I remember that at one occasion he was able to play a violin with him, and this conductor from Germany said to my father that you could be a member of the third violin section. And and also I would like to add that Kyoto City, I think, is the only local government in Japan which had such a full membership size orchestra as a city.
Mm-hmm.
And after this Karl Chuss invited through my father's cooperation as a conductor, the succeeding conductors of this city symphony has been Japanese.
Could you tell me a bit more about what it was like for you growing up in an academic family in Kyoto in the late 20s and early 1930s?
でまあ、20年代後半、それから30年代前半の京都で、まあ、こういったようなアカデミックなご家庭でお育ちになったというのはどういう感じでしたでしょうか。
まあそうですね、うちの姉も声楽やってましたしね。ですから僕はそのあんまり、まあピアノぐらい習い言われたんですけどね。でも僕は体がもう一つ小さい時弱かったから、もう学校へ行くのが精一杯で、なかなかその習い事までするなんていうかな、肉体的なあれがなかったんでね、結局行かなかったですけど、もうとにかく永住でレコード、まあそうかテープなんかレコードですけど、すごくあって、それをずっと聴いてましたから、まあクラシックとかそういうやつはまあ一通りだいたい耳に入ってますね。
Well, my eldest sister actually was practicing how to sing, and I was also told that I should practice playing piano at least.But as a matter of fact, I wasn't so physically strong when I was a small boy, and because of this physical weakness, what I could more or less barely manage to do was just to go to school and come home every day. So I wasn't strong enough to do any other extracurricular activities. So eventually, I didn't practice piano. But at home, there were so many records of music, so I was able to listen all of those the well-known pieces of classical music at home, and of course I remember most of those well-known pieces.
Did the situation with your health lead you to do a lot of reading?
でお体が弱かったということなんですけれども、そしたらたくさん本をお読みになるとか、そういう方向にも向かわれたんでしょうか。
まあ、本を読みましたし、あまりその力の入れないことっていうと、まあ、模型を作ったりね、まあ、ラジオを組み立てたり、まあ、そういうことは家の中でやれることは随分やりました。
Yes, a lot of reading, and also as I didn't have such a physical strength, I enjoyed doing things which didn't require much physical strength, such as building models of various kinds, or assembling a radio receiver, and whatnot.
Was tinkering with electronics one of your major hobbies then as a youth?
ということはその頃、お好きな趣味というのはそのエレクトロニクス的なものをいろいろいじるっていうのはやはり大好き
だ。そうですね、はい。まあ、
yes. Yes.
エレクトロニクスもあるし、メーカーもあるし、まあ時計なんていうのは片っ端から分解して通してきましたけどね。
Okay, yes, I loved tampering with those electronic things and the mechanics and so forth, and I loved disassembling the watches and clocks. I disassembled all the clocks and watches I could find.
Were you able to successfully put them back together?
No, I didn't. That they are.
Did your parents encourage your interest in science and technology?
で、ご両親は堀場会長の科学だとか技術に対する興味をさらにこう進めるっていうんですか、伸ばしていこうというふうになさったんでしょうか。
いや、別にそういう教育、そういうふうな特別な教育は一切しなかったですね。
Well, they didn't make any deliberate effort to educate me further in these particular areas like science and technology.
ただ親父はその大学休みになるとね、その日本全国の自分のその教自分のまあ教え子がみんなこう全国に就職してますよね。そこをもうずっと回るんですよね。で回ってその。その勤めてる会社で、まあ、しっかりやってるかっていうわけですね。それからその会社自体がうまくいってるかどうか、まあ、問題があれば、まあ、もちろんその彼の専門の分野ですけど、専門の分野でいろいろ相談に乗ったりなんかして、その時僕は必ずついていくんですよね。どうして親父がそういうことをその休みになるとずっと全国を回るから何のためにしてるか僕は子供心にはよく分からなかったけど、まあ後から考えると自分のその教え子がそこでしっかり勤めてるっていうことをまあ評価に行くと同時に、まあ変な話だけどいじめられてないかとかねその彼の能力いかにしか評価されてないかとか、あるいはその企業が栄えてないと、その自分の教え子の会社がダメになったら、その教え子もダメになるから、その会社をとにかくバックアップしようとか、まあ、今で言うと産学連携なんて言いますけども、もっともっとその自分の教え子っていうものが立派に育ってくれるっていうのが、まあ、彼の一番大きな喜びでもあったし、それをまあ実践してたっていうことは、まあ、後で理解できましたけどね、初めはどうしていくのかなと思ってた。
Well, but I remember that whenever the university was off in the vacation and holidays, my father made it a rule to visit the his ex-students who are now employed in various workplaces, including various companies. And whenever he visited his ex-students during holidays, he always took me with him in this trip. And I wasn't quite sure why he was doing all of those visits in the holiday period. But what I recall is that perhaps he was trying to evaluate whether his ex-students were doing okay in the workplaces. And also he wanted perhaps to make sure that whether they were treated fairly based upon their performance and abilities, and he wanted to make sure that they are not under-evaluated by their superiors or the companies themselves, and make sure that they are not bullied in any sense by anyone in the companies. And also, I think that he tried to give some advices as a chemist, when if they had any problems in the workplaces. And at the same time, my father was concerned not only about how his ex-students were doing, but also how the companies they were working for were doing. Because if the company was not doing well, that means that would have a negative impact on the career and the life of his ex-students, mm-hmm. and he wouldn't like to see that happen. And if such a thing might be developing, I think my father wanted to give a kind of a backup support to such a company. Today, it is often said that the academia and the industry need to collaborate with each other as partners. But I think my father's greatest cause of joy was to see his ex-students grow to a productive members of the society, and he actually did practice. I mean, making sure that they were developing as they should.
Mm-hmm.
In accordance with their competences. That's all what I guessed later on, not something I knew when I was small.
Did visiting those different chemical companies, those different workplaces where his ex-students were, did that further your interest in science, in thinking about perhaps becoming a scientist one day yourself?
で、こういうふうにお父様と教え子の皆さんが働いているところに一緒に行かれたということで、堀場さんご自身の科学へのご関心だとか、あるいは後々には研究者になりたいといったような関心をさらに喚起することになったんでしょうか？
いや、ですから小さい時からそういう化学工場とかそういう研究室とかいうのをずっと見てましたからね。すごくそれはなんていうかな、当たり前のもの、別に特別なものでないというふうにすごく、まあ一般の人だったらそういうところへ常に出入りするってことはほとんど専門家以外ないですけど、まあ、僕の場合小さい時からそういうところへ平気で出入りしてたから、いわゆるそういう実験室とかそういうものが極めて身近な感じをしていましたね。
Actually I had been able to visit various factories and laboratories and experimentation rooms and so forth. I think those places were already a normal part of my life.And if you are not specialist and just a normal citizen, would not be able to visit or see those places. But even as a child, those places were nothing special, quite a normal part of life. So I think when I was small, I had an opportunity to get exposed to those environment and felt quite close.To such an environment.
Mm-hmm. In thinking about the development of your interest in science and technology and your vision for yourself for the future, how important was the model building?Was that the beginning of an interest in engineering?
で、科学技術に対するご関心だとか、ないしは将来に対しての夢を形成していくということに絡めて、その模型作りというのはどれくらい重要な要素になったんでしょうか。例えば模型作りを通してエンジニアリングに対しての関心がさらに強まっていったんでしょうか。
模型を作ってる時、その時のジェネレーションでですね、その自分がエンジニアになるとか、あるいはサイエンティストになるとかって、まあ、そういうことはまあ考えてなかったけれど、まあそういうものにすごく興味がありましたからね。まあ、自分の職業ということはまだ小学生の時はあまり考えてなかったけれど、まあ潜在的にはやっぱりそういうの関係する 何かになろうと思ってたんでしょうね、きっと。
Well, when I was a grade school, elementary school student making the various kinds of models, I don't think I had particularly in my mind that I wanted to be an engineer or a scientist in the future. I don't think I had that kind of a career vision already when I was this little as a grade school student, but perhaps subconsciously, I had some ideas of doing things like that.
What was your educational experience like in grade school?
小学校っていうのはどういう思い出がありますか、その教育という意味では。
じゃあ、私が入った小学校っていうのは、今の教育大学になってますが、昔は師範学校といいまして、その学校の、まあ、小中高の学校の先生をになるための専門の学校やったんですね。で、したがって、私はその師範学校の附属小学校っていうのに入りました。そこは、まあ、今大学で言えば大学の医学部の附属病院みたいなもんで、結局医者の卵を実際にインターン、その実際にその自分の習ったその学問を実践するためにある附属病院があるんですよね。ですから大学病院というのは何も患者を治すというのがプライオリティが一番でなしに、その大学の医学部の学生の実習の場にモルモットだけではダメだから人間を材料に、まあ、実験してるわけですよ。それと同じように我々の附属小学校っていうのは、その学生が実際の教育の場に出る前にインターンとしてその子どもの教育を、まあ、実験する、まあ、そういう学校でしたから、人数は30人から35人までで、まあ、メインの先生はいるんですが、その実際にインターンの学生がですね、まあ、5、6人いるんですね。
一学級あたり
5、6人。一学級5、6人だから、まあ、先生が7、8人、7人のところに35人しても、まあ、1人で5人見てるみたいなもんですね、1人の先生が。まあ、しかし、面のもちろん教員は1人はいないと、その文部省の企画に入りませんから、あとはまあ、このまだ教員免許を持ってない、要するにインターンの学生ですね。ですから、もう非常に、なんていうかな、密度の濃い教育だったし、それからその、5人6人の強制の先生っていうのはみんな専門があるわけですね。理科の先生とか、まあ、もちろん全部教えるんだけれど、その特に理科系の人とか体育系とか工作の先生とか、その国語の先生とかね、歴史の先生とか、まあ、そういうのはやってますから、それ自分の好きな、まあ、学科の強制の先生とこへ僕ら行くわ。そうすると放課後になると、その先生がそれは予習というんで全然なしに、そのいろいろ面白いことを一緒にやってくれたりするんですよ。で、僕は理科が好きだったから、理科の先生どこ行くと放課後の方が面白いね。その先生がいろいろ授業の時間よりも、それがまあ非常に僕らとしては楽しかったし、まあ、それですごく理科というものに本格的に興味を持ちましたね。
The elementary school I went to was a school attached to a Kyoto normal school, which is today called a teacher's college or teacher's training university. But in those days, it was called a normal school, and elementary school and middle school and high schools were all attached to that normal school. And in a sense, therefore, the elementary school I went to can be likened to a university hospital where the young medical students are trained as residents sent from university's medical school. And therefore, as you know, the main purpose of a university hospital is not really to treat the patient, but to provide a real training opportunities to medical students, as they have to deal not just with the guinea pigs, but with the real human patients. And my the elementary school I went to was just like that. And therefore, besides the full-time teachers who are given the formal teacher's license, there were a lot of student teachers who were sent from this normal school, and the class size was also very small, like between 30 and 35 students per class, and one class had one full-time homeroom teacher, and besides that teacher, there were between 5 or 6 student teachers. So that means one pupil, one student was able to have 5 or 6 students were able to have one student, one teacher more, so more or less. Therefore, the education was quite dense in nature. And at the same time, those student teachers had their areas of specialty, like natural science, gymnastics or art, or Japanese language and reading, or Japanese history and so forth. So the pupils, the kids, were able to closely associate with those student teachers whose areas of specialty were the same with that student's areas of interest. For instance, in my case, I love the natural sciences, so I often hanged around a student teacher who was going to be a natural science teacher in the future. And actually, those student teachers gave us a very enjoyable time, not as part of the curriculum activities, but after school. It was not really a kind of a preview of what we are going to study next week or so forth, but we really enjoyed hanging around those young student teachers after school. And I think that really stimulated my interest into natural sciences.
Did you also do well at school? Were you a good student?
その時代には生徒としてはいい生徒でいらっしゃいましたか？成績とも良かったんでしょうか？
素晴らしい生徒だったと
思います。I was very a good student, great student.
Was it a big change for you then in 1937, I believe, at around the age of 13 when you went to Kobe, to the Konan Superior School?
13歳の時に、1937年だったと思うんですけれども、高南高校の方に移られたというのは、堀場会長にとって非常に大きな出来事でしたか？
そうですね、まず、いや、まあ、家を離れて、まあ、生活するっていうことも言えなかったし、まあ、小学校5年6年の時ほとんど学校に行けずに家で療養してまして、まあ、その先生に来てもらって小学校卒業したというようなことで、それでまあその小児リウマチたちだから京都ではダメだということで、それでまあ転地という意味を兼ねて阪神館に行きまして、まあ、そこで寮にしかも入ったわけですね。ですから、まあ、その学校自体もさることながら、その毎日の生活がね、もう今までは家の中で、まあ、どちらかというとこう大事に育てられてたのは中学部門だけですけど、まあ、上に2年生3年生4年生の先輩いるからね、まあとにかくその今のような変ないじめはないけれど、先輩の命令は絶対聞くということでね、 それは僕の人生としてはその時もびっくりするようなことがあった。
Yes, sir. The one thing is that that was the first experience for me to away from my home. And when I was in the fifth or the sixth the grade of elementary school, mostly I was staying at home because I was sick. I was suffering a juvenile rheumatoid. Therefore, the teachers were coming to my home to teach something. So I was mostly staying at home. And because the climate of Kyoto is not very good for the rheumatoid, the doctors recommended me to move to somewhere else. Therefore, I decided to go to the Konan the high school. And I was in the dormitory of that school. So, of course, you know, my life changed drastically. And mostly, I was staying at home before that, and I was taken care very well by everybody at home. However, in a dormitory, I had some senior students in the junior high school. There was a second grader, third grader, and fourth grader as our superior seniors. So, although there was no harsh the bullying or something at that time, but if the seniors ordered something to the younger the students, we had to obey what the seniors have said. So it was a really surprising experience for me.
I can imagine. Were boarding schools common in Japan at that time for high school?
でその当時中学高校で全寮制の学校というのは日本ではよくあったことなんですか？珍しいでしょう。非常に限
られてますね。我々の行った学校ももちろん全寮制ではなかったので、それはもう自由だったんです。でしかもそれは中等部だけで、高校のところはもう全然寮はなかったんです。ですから私もその中学部は寮に入ってましたけど、高等部の入ってからは、下宿してました。
I think the boarding school was very limited at that time in Japan. It was not the complete boarding school. There was a choice for the students. So some can stay in a dormitory, some can come to the school from home. The only the junior high school part has a dormitory. And when we come senior the high school students, we had to stay at somebody's home, and we had to come to school from that the house.
Who did you stay with in those senior years of high school?
でその高校の時にどういうご家庭に下宿なさっていたんですか？
大体その我々のその同級のね、同級生の家とか、あるいは私の親父の、お弟子さんが阪神館に家があって、いろんなこと勤めてる人の家とかで、あまり長くいると面白くないので、だいたい年に 2,3 回転々としてた。
For example, friends' house is the same, classmates' house is the same grade. My father's ex-students, the pupils,were working around the Hanshin or the Osaka or Kobe area. Therefore, I was able to stay in my father's the pupils' the houses there. And it's not interesting to stay in one home for a long time. Therefore, I preferred to move around the different houses. I changed the house two or three times a year.
この江南っていうのはまたこれ非常に特徴のある 学校でしたね。で、あの、まあ、日本にはだいたい7年生ですね。7年生の高等学校っていうのは、まあ、6つぐらいしかないですね。で、関西に2つと東京に 4つぐらいかな。で、これはもう一貫教育で中学と高等学校をつけて7年で卒業させようという。で、江南の場合は平尾八三郎という、まあ、あの、
すいません、お名前、
平尾、あの、平面、はい、フラットの平、はい、それから生きる、それから金辺に八ですね、
はい、八
三郎、八、はい、平尾八
三
郎、八の数字の八の前に金がつくんです、金、
あ、はい、
3つの楼ね、はい、この人は、まあ、実業家なんですが、まあ、今の、その徹底的なそのジェントルマン教育をしようということで、極めて1クラス40人の2学級を1年としましたから、ですから、あ、まあ、35人かな、70人、まあ30人から35人ぐらいですかね。だから2クラスありますが、1学期はだいたい70人まで、70人ぐらい。それで7年間、7、7、40、要するに7年間で500人ぐらい、500人以内 の中高の学校なんですね。で、要するに一貫して、その、地域、特育、体育と、この3つをとことんやると。で、まあ、西洋流に言えば、ノーブル・ソブリージっていうんですかね、要するに、その社会に奉仕できるような人間になりなさいということ。それで、要するに、まあ、英国型のうるさい、その、まずマナーがうるさかったし、とにかくズボンに筋がついてなかったら大変なんですよね、これ。こう、今のように考えられないようなジーパンなんていうのはね。で、ピシッとして、まあ、とにかく爪で来て。まあ、そうして、とにかくマナー教育とすると同時に、もう体育っていうのは、まあ、もうから、健全な肉体に健全な精神を出るという、体育を徹底的に。ですから、中高合わせて500人なのに、ほとんどの科目がインターハイに行ってるぐらい強いんですよね。というのは、まあ、中学、高校一貫してますから、その高校に入った時は、もう中学で基礎をやってるから、非常に条件いい。まあ、それが一番強かったのは、まあ、私も結局考えてみると、寮生活をしたために、病気が治ったっていうのはあれはね、僕は大部分は精神的なものだと思いますね。家にいる時は甘えてたと思うね、背から痛いとかつったもんで言ってたけど、もう寮へ入ったらもう痛いなんて言うたって、その関係ないわけよね。もう本当に倒れて息ができなくなったともかく、もうとにかく起きて飯食ったら最低とかね、布団たためとかやられるから、そのうちに元気になって、それでまあラグビーやりだした。
Conan's superior school was quite a unique school. There were the seven grades, including the junior high school the part and the high school senior high school the part. And at that time in Japan, there were only the six school high schools in Japan which have seven grades.
Mm.
That means there is the a consistent education connecting junior high school and high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were two such schools in Kansai or the near Osaka, yes, the area, and four in Tokyo area. So the Conan was one of the such the school. The Conan High School was founded by Mr. Hachisaburo Hirao. He was the businessman. But he was trying to pursue the gentlemanship in the education of the Conan
high school, mm-hmm. and there were only two classes in one grade, and one class has about 30 to 35 students, so only 70 students in one mm-hmm. Grade. So in total, the number of the students is within 500 in the Konan Superior School. And the school's motto was the knowledge and the virtue and the physical strength. These three, they has to be the very important in school. And what is called in the Western country as noblesse oblige was taught in that school. That means the graduates of Konan Superior School was needed to contribute to the local society, local community.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the school was very strict in the manner. On the trousers, pants, they had to be the line in the middle
the
of the pants.
Yeah.
So of course, the jeans was not allowed at that time. And students were forced to wear the high-color school uniform in the black the color. And also the gymnastics was very important. Sport activities was very important in that school. So even if we have only 500 students or so in at the total school, in many other sport activities, the students were able to participate in the inter-high school athletic the meetings competition.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was also involved in some sport activities there. And the reason why the students are so strong in the sport activities is because there is a consistent education from junior high school to high school. While they were in junior high school, the foundation of all these sport activities have been already established. Therefore, in high school, they can make very good results in the sport competition. And I think spirit is very important in the physical the activities. And I was able to be cured from my rheumatoid after I was in a dormitory. I think that is because of the spirit. I mean, while I was staying at home, I was quite dependent on the people around me. Therefore, I was saying it's hurt or something. Mm. However, in a dormitory, even if I say it hurts, nobody cares. So once I get up in the morning, I have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as I can breathe, I have to move. And that was very good, you know, spiritually to cure my physical sickness too.
Well, I know that you played rugby while you were at school. And I was wondering if rugby was a very popular sport at that time in Japan, or was it more unusual to be a rugby player?
堀場会長は高難でラグビーをなさっていたということなんですけれども、まあ、ラグビーっていうのは当時から割と人気のあったスポーツなのか、それともラグビーをやるっていうのは割と変わったことだったのか、いかがでしたでしょうか？
そうですね、当時サッカーよりはラグビーの方が多かったですね、人口が。まあ、野球はもう圧倒的に多かったですけどね。ですけど、まあ、野球、団体スポーツだったら野球、バスケットの次ぐらいだったかな。で、まあ、あとはもちろんテニスでしたしね。まあ、いろいろ数少ないけどね、その当時で、ね、グライダーもあったんですよ。とか、まあ、もちろん柔道剣道だけれど、まあ、とにかくどこか そのスポーツのクラブへ入るということは、まあ、義務付けられてはないけど絶対的にありましたね。まあ、もう全部入ってましたね、どっかに。それからあと面白いのはアマチュア無線の ラブもありましたしね。まあなんかいろいろ、とにかくクラブがあって、それはクラブと 学校というよりは、もうまさに密接してて、その授業、正規の授業がある、まあそれを補完するみたいな感じで、そういうクラブ活動があったという、うんと近づいた感じ、今ですとなんかクラブ活動と、学校の教育ってあまりこう、なんていうコンタクトがね、あまりないようだけど、その当時非常に、それは非常に良かった、いいことだと思うんですけどね。
Yes, I think at least compared with football, rugby was more popular at that time. Of course, baseball was maybe the most popular sport among the students, and maybe the second is the basketball.And rugby is maybe next at the tier, the basketball. And of course, tennis was also the popular sport. And although that kinds of the sport was very limited, those were the very, rugby was one of the most popular the sports. And the Conan also had a glider at the club too. And of course, there was the judo,Kendo, the martial, the arts club, the two. At least one student belonged to at least one of those the club activities. It was not mandatory, but the most of the students, or almost all of the students, were in some club activities. And also there was the amateur, the radio communication club, the two.I think at that time, the school education and extracurricular, the club activities were really integrated. Club activities were something that, which serves as the complementary the activities for the school, the educational the activities. And nowadays, the extracurricular club activities and the school education are quite separated, I think. However, in my age, in between the two activities, there were a closer the contact, more integrated, and I think that was very good.
Before I ask you another question about rugby, I did want to ask, were you in the radio club?
でラグビーのことをお聞きしようと思っていたんですけど、その前にそのアマチュア無線のクラブには入っていらっしゃいましたか？
入ってました。
Yes, I was in radio club too.
So that working with electronics as a hobby continued through your youth.
ということはもう堀場会長 の若い時代にずっとそういうエレクトロニクスのようなものに対する関心というのは続いてあったと思うん
です
、ね、
そうですよね。今はまだこれ携帯電話がなんかできたんであんまりそういうコミュニケーションっていうのはあれなんだけど、昔は有線電話以外に個人的にそのコミュニケーションするっていうのはアマチュア無線だけしか許されてなかった。まあもちろんこれ世界中ですね。ですからその通信するということ自体に興味があった人と、もう一つはその送受信するそのハードウェアですね、その機械をの性能のいいものを作って、それで競争する、要するに遠いところに明確に信号を送る。でこうコンタクトすると必ずこうカードをお互いに送るんですね。それで何月何日通信したっていうことをお互い証明を出し合う。でそのカードが6大陸とかあるいは何カ国通信したかというのをお互いに競うわけだけど、その時にそのレディメイドの機械はもうダメなんですよね。それ全部自分で設計して自分ですごい機械を作ってやるというのが、我々は楽しみだったし。
Recently, we have cellular phones and mobile phones.
However, at that time, besides the telephone, we did not have any the personal the communication device. The radio, the communication was the only way to have individual the communication. So many young people were interested in the radio communication because they can have individual the communication. That's the one of their interest. And another the interest is that they were trying to compete with the performance of the hardware, the machine. Which is made by themselves for receiving and transmitting the signals.
Right.
So they should be able to send the clear signals to the long distance places. And once they had communication, they exchange cards in which the date of communication is clearly stated. It's a kind of certificate of communication.
Right.
So they were competing with such a broader communication, covering six continents or the how many countries and so forth. And without using ready-made machines, they were trying to make machines by themselves, and they were trying to compete with the performance of their machines. That's another way of interest.
大体は第二次世界戦争が始まってアマチュア無線が完全にストップされましたんでね、結局ごくわずかの間だけしか、それはそのコラボ成立しなかった。
However, due to the outbreak of World War II, the radio club was suspended. Radio communication was restricted due to war. Therefore, we have the radio, the club, only a short period of time.
To return to the subject of rugby for a moment, you've written that lessons learned about passing the ball in time during a rugby match has been very important for you in thinking about passing on the leadership of your company. I was wondering, what else did rugby teach you, and has rugby been an interest of yours across your life?
ラグビーの話に戻らせていただくんですけれども、お書きになっている本の中に、試合の中では、いいタイミングでパスを出していくということが非常に重要だということを、ラグビーから学ばれたと。でそれでご自分 の, その社長としての地位を、いいタイミングで他の人に渡されたというようなことを書いていらっしゃったんですけれども、何かそれ以外にラグビーから学ばれたことっていうのはありますか、それから、あともうずっとその後の人生でもラグビーっていうのは堀場会長にとって関心のあるものの一つですか、
もう非常に僕はラグビーをやったということは、その後のね人生にいろんな意味で大きな影響を及ぼしたと思いますが、一つはあれは大体団体競技だから、みんな力を合わせてやりましょうと言って、一人一人が能力が低かっても総合力で勝ちましょうと、いうこと一般的に言われますが、そんな甘いもんじゃないっていうことも知りましたね。
Yes, the rugby was quite influential to my whole life. And one thing important is rugby is the team sport. So everybody has to get together to win the game. So even if the individual or the athlete's the capability is low, with the team capability, we might be able to win. However, I learned that that things are not so easy through rugby game too.
結局二流の人が集まっても一流のチームはダメ。
That means that. If all the second the rate the people get together, we cannot make first rate team.
普通二流が集まったら三流のチームになるんだけど、 力を合わせたら二流が保てる。
が保てるね。
てがレベルがもうそこが最高。
最高。
うん。
And usually, when the all the second rate the people they get together, we tend to have the third rate the team. but if everybody get together and if we make a great effort among the second rate the people, we can maintain the second rate level. And that's the maximum.
だから一流のチームを作ろう、一流の会社になるとしたら。少なくとも社員一人一人が一流でなかったら一流の、まあ、仕事はできないということを知りました。
In the company, in order to be the first rate, the company, I believe that at least the individual, the employees, they have to be the first rate, the persons. That is what I learned.
日本の企業では一流の人をすごく集めてるけど、仕事は三流のとこが多いんですね。
But looking at the Japanese companies, and although they have first-rate employees, the companies tend to be third-rate in many cases.
Is it a question that is the lesson then that you need first-rate people? But you need to organize the team in such a way that you can get the maximum benefit from having those first-rate people.
ということは、まあ、教訓としてあのでいらっしゃることは、まあ、一流の人があの集まっていたとしても、まあ、チームとして一流になるようにきちんと組織しなければ、そのレベルを維持できないということでしょうか。Yes.
Well, I was interested in something that you said earlier about how strict the school was. And I was wondering how you reacted to such a strict environment. Was that something that was difficult for you or you found that you could adapt to very easily?
であの先ほど、江南あの高校にいらっしゃるときに非常にあの厳しい学校生活だったというようなお話をなさっていたと思うんですけれども、それに対してあの堀場会長がまあどういうふうにあの順応されていったのか、そ の, あの厳しさの中であの適用されるのが非常に難しかったのか、それとも割合あのうまく順応されていったのかということをお聞きしたいんです。
そう、厳しいですけどもそのいわゆる何か一つその得意な学科とかね、そういうものがあるとそれは非常にその先生はバックアップしてくれたし、そのいわゆるその一律に何もかもがその70点取るよりはやっぱり一つ二つはですね、非常に得意な学科があるということがありますとね、まあ嫌な学科は少々悪くったって問題なかった。で一番最低なのが全部60点みたいな人はこれはもう一番その校内においては低く評価されたんですね。だから何かやっぱり特徴を自分の得意とするところを伸ばせっていうことをやったから、まあ僕は非常に良かったと思いますね。
Although the school was very strict, if the students have at least one or two the very good subjects, and if the performance in the subject is very good, at least in one or two subjects, the teachers of those subjects they have backed up, supported the students very well. So rather than having the 70 points out of 100 for all the subjects, having just one or two outstanding subjects were evaluated the better in the Konan the high school. So if the other subjects the performance are not very good, it's okay if the one or two subjects are quite outstanding.So the worst case is that getting 60 points for every subject. So rather than that, those students were evaluated in a low way in a corner high school. So the teaching in a corner high school is that if you have something which is outstanding, you have to try to exert more effort to those subjects as you can develop the better in those subjects.
ただ7年生って言いますけども、7年で卒業できた人は、まあ、3分の2ぐらいで、あとは1回ないし2回落第させるんですよ。どこでも、要するに中学の時も高校の時も。ですから結局高校の入学試験はなかったけれど、逆に各学年ですね、入学試験を受けてるみたいな状態だったんで、まあ苦しかったけど、あとで思えば、まあそういう一極集中で入学試験勉強するよりははるかに全科目にわたってですね、ある程度の能力を持たないといけなかったっていうのは非常にいい教育制度じゃなかったかと思うんですね。
I told you that there were seven grades in the corner of the superior school. However, the number of the students who can graduate at the corner superior school in the 7 years have been very limited. Only 2/3 of the students were able to graduate in the 7 years because once or twice they fail to go up to the highergrade. So although there was no admission or the examination, entrance examination for the senior the high school, every year was something like admission examination for the students. So rather than having only one big entrance examination, I think that was better for the students. Every year they are evaluated.Therefore, I think that was good.
And did you excel in the natural sciences and mathematics? Were those your areas of excellence?
Yeah, no. Horiba Kaijo の得意な分野というのはやはり理科とか、それから数学とか、そういう分野だったでしょうか。
まあ、物理と数学は一番。
The physics and mathematics were my two major subjects.
And as your time at the Konan School came to a close, what were your career aspirations?
それで Konan 高等学校を卒業なさいまして、その後その後の進路についてはどのようにお考えでしたか？
で、その高等学校の物理の先生が、まあ、原子核物理ニュークリアフィジックスの先生で、まあその先生といろいろ付き合ってるうちに、まあ僕はもともとフィジックスが好きだったんですが、そのフィジックスの中でもやっぱりニュークリアフィジックスが面白いということで、でまあ大学もニュークリアフィジックスの、まあ積極的にやってる大学って言ったら、京都大学が一番当時はニュークリアフィジックスで日本の大学でも一番進んでたから、まあ、京都大学行きたいと思いました
。The physics teacher in the Konan Superior School was the very good expert in the nuclear physics.Therefore, because I had close contact with that teacher, I was interested in nuclear physics. I look for the universities which are active in the nuclear physics. And I found the Kyoto University was the most superior university in the field of nuclear physics. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I decided.To go to Kyoto University. すみません。